There's another in the fire standing next to me. What a great, great truth from the scripture. Those three Hebrew young men who would not bow and were cast into the fire, they found there was another in the fire standing right next to them. And you know, Jesus' last words in the book of Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do not fear," the Lord said to Isaiah, "I am with you." Today he is with us. I am so glad to tell you that he will never leave us. As we gather today, and I know we're gathering in a different than usual kind of a way, but we're gathered. And as we are gathered, God is with us. That's actually what the angel told Joseph to name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And in these days, you might feel isolated. I think we all do to some extent. I've never seen the streets so quiet. Yesterday, Christy and I took a walk, and there was a lot of people out walking, but even in the walk out in the, and it was such great weather to just get some exercise and some fresh air. But, you know, you couldn't help but notice that people kept their distance, rightfully so. We're social distancing. And, you know, you can start to feel isolated. Some of you might feel cooped up. I know I talked to a guy and his wife that were throwing a tennis ball for their dog in the field, and he said, "Man, I hear it's going to rain," and I just, he was so able, enjoying getting outside and thinking about, oh, what if it rains, you know. But you might feel isolated, you might even feel alone, but I'm telling you, you are not alone. God is with you, and he will never be caught by surprise. He will never change, and he will never leave you. I want you to turn in your Bible to John 14. It's kind of a, well, I tell you what, my Bible has kind of got coffee stains on it in John 14. It's a favorite passage. Some of you, it's very familiar. Some of you, it might be new, but it's the night in which Jesus was betrayed and he took his men around him. And it's a great chapter. It has been called a soft pillow for a weary heart. And I can relate. They're Jesus' words. We're not going to look at the chapter. I'm actually just going to look at the very first verse with you. John 14, 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." They are Jesus' words to his closest friends. Jesus' words of love. Now, we've been thinking about it. Jesus' love, God's love, perfect love, casts out fear. They're words of love. They're words to his own. This section, and by the way, this week I'd encourage you, it's a great place to spend some time, John 13 through 16. This evening when he, right on the eve of his betrayal and crucifixion, at the crunch time, he took his men together at the Passover meal and spoke these words of instruction and encouragement. And I've been spending a lot of time in them. I'd encourage you to, but these words begin, listen to the first verse of that whole section, verse 1 of chapter 13. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, he loved them to the end." Boy, I love that. And now we come to our text this morning. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." I want to speak to your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus speaks right to the heart. The Bible speaks right to the heart. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word, unlike any other literature, unlike any other words, it goes right to the heart. And so I want to speak to your heart because these words were spoken to our heart. Toward the end of this chapter, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So let's pause and listen to his word. Let not your heart be troubled, stirred up, agitated. You ever feel that way? I know I do sometimes. And Jesus said, don't let your heart be agitated and stirred up. Let not your heart be troubled. The first time this word was used in the New Testament is in Matthew 2, when the wise men came and announced, "We're looking for the King of the Jews." And Herod was troubled. He was agitated. He was fearful. And all Jerusalem with him. The next time it's used, it's actually translated terrified. When the men were out on the boat without Jesus, and Jesus came walking on the water, I read in Matthew 14, they were troubled. They were terrified. Don't let your heart be terrified. Don't let it be stirred up. In Acts, Paul was harassed around the Roman Empire at times. And in Thessalonica, they stirred up a riot against him, and he had to leave. And he went to the next town, Berea. And it says again, they stirred up the same term, to stir up, to agitate a riot. Sometimes that's what happens in our hearts. Jesus said, don't let your heart be stirred up. Don't let it be terrified. Believe in God. Believe in God. You say, well, Scott, I believe in God. Now, Jesus is saying, trust in God. There's a difference between assenting that he exists and trusting him. Believe, trust, rely upon, depend on God. You will not be disappointed. In these days, when we might feel anxious and fearful and wonder what's coming around the next bend, trust me, he says. Depend on God. Sometimes we talk about leaning in. I ask you today to lean in on God. You will not be disappointed. You will not be let down. You lean in on others, and sometimes they are worthy of leaning in on, and sometimes they let you down. But you lean in on God, and I'll tell you, you will not be disappointed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Believe in God. Now, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. He doesn't say, trust that you're Americans. We're going to see this through. He doesn't say, hey, you're Jews. We've endured a lot. He doesn't talk that way. He says, believe in God. That's the key. It's not just believe. Well, you just got to have faith. No, believe in God. Now, I'm appreciative. I really am. I'm an American, and I'm appreciative of the camaraderie that I sense right now in our culture. I sensed it talking to people. There was a neighborliness and a pulling together, and I'm very grateful for that. But ultimately, if your hope is in being America, Americans, you know, we'll pull through this. We always do. That's a little bit shaky of a foundation. Jesus didn't say, hey, we're Israel. He said, believe in God. Turn your eyes upward toward him. To whom then would you liken me that I should be his equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and see who created these stars. This morning I went out and it was a beautiful morning and it was crystal clear and I saw the stars and I rejoiced that I could lift my eyes up and see his handiwork, the stars. I saw a satellite going across right away and I thought, that isn't even, you know, halfway to the moon. In fact, it's not even, what, a 200th of the way to the moon. And the moon, that satellite might be up there a couple thousand miles, 1,500 miles, something like that. That's a long ways, but not when you start going to the moon. 225,000 miles. And then what should I say about the sun? 93 million miles. And we're still just right here in our solar system. No, lift up your eyes and see who has created these stars. He calls forth the galaxies by number, Isaiah says, chapter 40, I'm quoting verses 25 and 26. He says, he calls forth the hosts, the galaxies by number. He's called them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Take your eyes and lift them upward. Take them off the circumstances. Take your eyes off the virus. Take your eyes off the endless, relentless news reporting. Just take a break daily, maybe several times a day, and lift your eyes upward toward God. Get your eyes off the stock market, off your 401k, off whether you're going to have a job when this is over. What if this? Get your eyes off those things and turn your eyes toward God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. He, God, will never be caught by surprise. He's in charge. The theologians speak of it, and it's a great word. He's sovereign. He reigns over all. He is trustworthy. Friday morning, we actually gathered as elders to pray. We do that, and we didn't stop. We gathered, but we didn't gather close. We scattered around a large conference room, quite frankly. We practicing social distancing, you know, but it didn't keep us from having a great time together. But as we were praying for various things, we were praying Friday morning for one of our global outreach workers in Africa. And he was seeking to evacuate 22 Americans, global workers that he's over. And we were praying for his situation because as the embassies are closing and the borders are closing, this is worldwide, the circumstances we're facing. And so we prayed Friday morning and we prayed throughout the day. Yesterday, Saturday, at 6:47 in the morning, I looked. I saw the text. I said, what time was that when that text came in? One of our global outreach committee members texted me and said, please pray for the situation that we were praying for earlier. And they've got a group of eight going to the airport, but there's a storm, a big storm, a rain or dust storm or sandstorm. They couldn't tell, but it was very ominous, and it would shut the airport down. If you've been in Africa, you know that kind of thing can happen. And so they said, please pray. And so I texted back. I said, I am praying. And I texted back a text. I'd like you to turn to Job 37. Sometimes when I text, I think, should I take the time to text the words so that a person can hear the very word of the Lord, or hope that they have a Bible and they can turn to it? And I'm so glad in this case that I didn't take the time. But I'm going to read what I texted to them because they did get it. I'll finish that story in a minute. Verse 5. I texted them, God is in charge of the wind and the storms, you know. Verse 5, God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and the rain, be strong. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Then the beast goes into its lair and remains in its den. Out of the south comes the storm, and out of the north the cold. From the breath of God ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. And with moisture he loads the thick cloud. He disperses the cloud of his lightning, and it changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth, whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. When I texted that to them, I thought, I hope they have a chance to read it. Well, I got a text back in just a few hours, and they said it was as if God just stopped the storm outside the city. They could see it, but it just stopped. And the eight were able, the flight took off, and they said, great scripture. We so appreciated it. And then we serve a mighty God. And I thought, you know, when we say, he's never caught by surprise. He's sovereign. He is in charge. Believe in God. He's never caught by surprise. He's in charge. He will never change. He's utterly dependable. The winds and the waves pound, and Haystack Rock over there at Cannon Beach, it just stays put. Aren't you glad? Sometimes I go over there when the sea is flat, and it's a beautiful place to be, you know. But I've been there when the storms are hitting it hard and the winds and the waves are hitting Haystack, but Haystack doesn't move. Our Lord is a rock and a refuge. God will never change. He's utterly dependable. Statistics, oh, they change. They're mounting. They change constantly. There's the relentless news bulletins and then alerts. And I'm glad that we have information, but I'll tell you, remember, though everything else is changing, God isn't changing. God does not change. He will never change. I, the Lord, do not change, he said. Malachi 3, verse 6. He'll never be caught by surprise. He will never change. And he will never leave you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am God. There is another in the fire standing next to me. Let me read from Isaiah 43 just for a second. Just listen to this. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He'll never be caught by surprise. He will never change, and he will never leave you. You know, the Apostle Paul, of all people, I think of Paul as just fearless. And I'm very encouraged by him, his tenacity and trust in the Lord, but he became discouraged at times. He wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I despaired even of life. He really got down. We would say very depressed. He wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians that when I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You see, Paul wasn't the fearless one. Jesus is the fearless one. Paul was just like you and me, and he was fearful and weak, and in much trembling he came to the Corinthians. But I read in the book of Acts, Acts 18, when he was there in Corinth and he went to bed. I don't know if he put his head down on a soft pillow, I doubt it. But he was no doubt trying to get some sleep. He was discouraged and fearful. And I read in Acts 18, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you." And he did. He said, "You know, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wasn't with you with a bunch of gusto. When they went to pick Paul up at the airport, it wasn't him getting out cocky and saying, 'I'm here to give a conference.' No, he said, 'I came into town fearful and in weakness and in much trembling, but I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.'" He brought the good news of the gospel. And he needed that kind of encouragement, and God gave it to him in the middle of the night. Maybe today, maybe you are having a hard time sleeping. Maybe you're sensing our weakness. I think we all are. We're sensing our weakness. We're thinking we don't have much control of things ultimately. And maybe we're tempted to even tremble. You're thinking, will I even have a job when all this is over? What about childcare? The schools are out, and what do we do with the kids? We've both got essential roles we've got to be at. There's all kinds of things that could cause us to be fearful if all we look at is our circumstances. What will happen? How many ventilators do they have? I mean, if that's all you're focusing on, let me encourage you to pause and let not your heart be troubled. Trust, rely, lean in to God. He is not caught by surprise. He does not change, and he will never leave you. But that's not all. Notice the verse says, "Let not your heart be agitated and stirred up. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus Christ will never be caught by surprise. The winds and the waves were bashing into the boat, and he just said, "Hush, be still, be muzzled." And I read, there was a great calm. You see, Jesus is God the Son. Believe in God, trust in God, trust also in me. Rely upon me. He'll never be caught by surprise. He's sovereign. Listen to the last book of the Bible. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. "Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Believe also in me, Jesus said to the guys. And he's saying it to you this morning. He'll never be caught by surprise. He will never change. Yes, the God of the Old Testament said, "I am the Lord, I do not change." But the New Testament tells us just as clearly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. If you relied upon him yesterday, you can rely upon him tomorrow. He is the eternal, unchanging, dependable one, and he will never leave you. Jesus Christ will never leave you. We've come full circle. Let's read our text again. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He'll never leave you, and he will be with you forever. I'm coming back so that where I am, there you may be also. You say, yeah, but what about in the meantime? Well, that's why I encourage you to read John 13 through 16. Get the context here. But let me just let Jesus' words speak to us. Right before this chapter, in chapter 13, verse 36, the Lord had said, I'm going to leave. And Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later. I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, another one just like me. God the Son was leaving, and he said, I'm going to ask God the Father, and we will give you another one. We won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you, he says. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Oh, Lord, we praise you for this. We thank you that we can lean into you in times of trouble and never be disappointed. We rejoice that you are indeed the God of all comfort and that you didn't leave us as orphans. You left us the Comforter until you return, that where you are, there we might be forever. Oh, give us grace to trust and depend on you in these days, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.